Welcome to the Covenant Journey Podcast. We hope to inform, inspire, and encourage you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love of our Lord Jesus as we explore the timeless treasures of the Bible. Join us now as we explore God's Word.
On today's Covenant Journey Bible Podcast, we're going to be talking about why Jesus commanded the evil spirits and others not to reveal him, and why did he speak in parables. I'm Matt Staver, founder and chairman of Covenant Journey. Let's look at Mark chapter 1, and let's begin this discovery of this question: why did Jesus command these demons and others not to spread the news about who he was, and why did he use parables to speak? In Mark chapter 1, verse 21, this is where Jesus goes to the synagogue and he begins to speak. They went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath day, he entered into the synagogue and he taught. They were astonished, verse 22, at his teaching, for he taught them as having authority and not as the scribes. Immediately there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Ha! What do we have to do with you, Jesus, you Nazarene? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet, and come out of him." The unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "Who is this? What new teaching is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." The report of him went out immediately everywhere into all the region of Galilee and its surrounding areas. He goes and he continues to teach. And verse 32, at evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were possessed by demons. All the city was gathered together at the door. He healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. He didn't allow the demons to speak because they knew him. Now, going on into the chapter, Mark chapter 1, he comes to a person who's a leper in verse 40. A leper begins to beg him and kneeling down to him and saying to him, "If you want to, you can make me clean." Being moved with compassion, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I want to be clean." When he had said this, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was made clean. He, Jesus, strictly warned him and immediately sent him out. And he said, "See, you say nothing to anybody, but go show yourself to the priests and offer for yourself cleansing the things which Moses commanded for a testimony to them." But he went out and began to proclaim it much and to spread about the matter, so that Jesus could no more openly enter into a city, but was outside in desert places, and they came to him from everywhere. So we have several points here in Mark chapter 1. First, he cast out demons. They recognize him. One of them even begins to speak, and Jesus commands him to be quiet. Stop speaking. And the others, where he's casting out demons, he commanded the demons to be quiet because they knew who he was. You remember the one passage in the New Testament where it says, "Jesus, did you come here to persecute us before it's time?" Jesus tells him, "Be quiet, come out." Then he heals this man who's a leper. He tells him, "Don't go out and spread this far and wide. What you need to do is go do the offering, and that will be a testimony. Here you were ultimately sick, now you're not. Jesus is the one who ultimately did this." But what he did was he didn't follow Jesus' advice. He went out and he broadcast it everywhere. So the news about Jesus became very well widespread, so that he couldn't even go into the city anymore. He had to stay out in the desert. And there people came to him because he couldn't go into the city. Let's move over to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. And in this particular passage, Jesus is at Caesarea Philippi. And while he is there at Caesarea Philippi, Jesus ultimately reveals something brand new to his followers that they did not know before. Jesus in chapter 16 says in that gospel, verse 21, "From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, 'Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you.' But he, Jesus, turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan, you are a hindrance to me, for you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man.'" Now, it's very important, verse 21, chapter 16, Gospel of Matthew, "From that time," at that moment, this was the turning point, Caesarea Philippi, where he began to give them additional teaching that he was going to Jerusalem, and there he was going to suffer, die, and be raised again. Now, what ultimately happened is that Jesus is giving them new revelation. Earlier in chapter 16, Jesus is working with his disciples and giving them an object lesson. He travels all the way from Jerusalem to Caesarea Philippi. Caesarea Philippi is a place that was an epicenter for paganism. It was where the god Pan was worshipped. We've talked about this on a previous Covenant Journey podcast. And he takes them on this 30-plus mile hike through the wilderness just to teach them a particular lesson. And what he's trying to teach them is that he is going to the very epicenter of paganism, and he's reclaiming it. It is there at Caesarea Philippi, and it's an amazing place that we visit on our journeys through the Holy Land. It is there where Jesus asked a question of the disciples: "Who do people say that I am?" And they come back and they give him all the different things that people think he is: Jeremiah, prophet, Elijah, somebody else. "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter acknowledges that you are Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. When that acknowledgement ultimately happened, then Jesus begins to give them additional revelation that he, the Messiah, the Son of God, will ultimately go to Jerusalem. There he will be mistreated, suffer, die, and he will rise again on the third day. So if you look at Matthew chapter 16, two new revelations came out. One, he's asking the disciples, "Who do you think that I am?" Now, they have been with him for some time. This is toward the end of his earthly ministry. He's about ready to set his journey toward Jerusalem and go to that last week of his earthly life. And now, for the first time, he asks them, "Who do you think that I am?" So even to his disciples, he gradually gave them information. And now this is the first place in Matthew where they actually acknowledge he is the Son of God, the Messiah. And then Jesus, once that is acknowledged, he gives them a new piece of information. "Yes, I am. And I'm going to suffer and die. I'm going to Jerusalem." Now, let's add one more passage here to put it all together. Jesus, of course, as you know, spoke in many parables. Oftentimes, these parables were difficult to understand. The disciples oftentimes struggled with understanding these parables. If you move to John chapter 16 and verse 29, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. His disciples in verse 29 said to him, "Behold, now you speak plainly, and you no longer are speaking in figures of speech. Now we know that you know all things and don't need for anyone to question you. By this we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe?" And he goes on. Verse 29, "Now you're speaking plainly to us. We understand what you're saying. You're no longer using these parables, these figures of speech." Well, this whole idea, particularly in Mark, where Jesus tells people not to reveal who he was. He silences the demons. Theologians have a name for it. It's called the Messianic secret motif. Now, it's just a fancy name to talk about the progression through the ministry of Jesus, where he is gradually giving information to people about who he is and what his mission is. If he had ultimately began to reveal everything about who he is and his mission, people would not be able to understand it and they would not be ready to receive it. For example, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, it says, God, having in the past spoken to the fathers through the prophets, and at many times in various ways, has at these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom he also made the worlds. Chapter 1, verse 1 of Hebrews says, God, in many ways, in many parts, in different ways and in different time frames, he spoke to us through our forefathers, through the prophets. The prophets spoke to our forefathers, and they did it in different kinds of ways and different methods at different times. But now at these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. This so-called messianic secret motif just really describes the progression of Jesus early in his ministry and as his ministry continues, how he continues to give additional new insights to who he is and his mission. And that's why you see him telling the demons to be silent, telling the man that was healed to ultimately go and do the particular ceremonial sacrifice, but be careful about spreading the word. You see what happens as a consequence of him spreading the word. He couldn't go back in the cities anymore. About the disciples finally being able to come to the point where they recognized him as the Son of God, the Messiah. And then when Jesus gave the additional revelation, yes, and the Son of God, the Messiah, is going to Jerusalem and he's going to suffer and die, that was not something they were ready for. And that's why Peter pushed back. And Jesus rebuked him and said, you're thinking like Satan. Get behind me, Satan. You're not thinking according to God's plan. Hebrews 1, God in many ways over time spoke to us through the prophets, through different revelation. But now ultimately he speaks to us through his Son. Jesus spoke in parables, but then toward the end of his ministry began dropping the parables so that the disciples could actually understand it. Some of the parables that they even didn't understand during his lifetime became more clear after his resurrection. The point is, Jesus takes us where we are. And like a good teacher and a loving father, he then wants to take you where he wants you to be. You know, a teacher is not a good teacher if you're trying to learn basic mathematics, 2 + 2 = 4, division, subtraction, addition, multiplication, and instead you have some high-level mathematics teacher come in and talk over your head. You're not ready for that. You wouldn't understand it. Jesus is the same way. He's the ultimate teacher. And wherever you are in your own walk, in your own situation, Jesus meets you where you are, and he is gentle, loving, and patient with us to there begin, but not leave us there, to continue to take us along the path of not only revelation, but also sanctification, living a life dedicated to him. So whether you're learning, we're all in the process of that. Jesus continues to give more information, more revelation, more insight into who he is, where we are, and he gradually reveals more. And no matter where we are in our spiritual walk, no matter how many times we fall short or fail, Jesus doesn't abandon us. Like a good mentor, like a good teacher, like a good father, he ultimately stands with us, walks with us, picks us back up, dusts us off, washes us off, and helps us to continue on our journey with him. This is our Lord Jesus Christ, patient, kind. He knows exactly what we need. He knows exactly what we can handle. He ultimately, as the scriptures say, does not let anything greater come upon you than what you're able to handle. He ultimately prepares you for what's ahead. This is our loving Lord Jesus. This is the one who walked here on earth. This is the one who ultimately gave the Comforter to continue to be with us and to continue to bring us in this journey as we continue to press in to know more about who he is and his character. For more information, visit covenantjourney.org.
You've been listening to the Covenant Journey podcast. We hope that we have informed, inspired, and encouraged you to deepen your faith, knowledge, and love for our Lord Jesus as we've explored the Word of God. Visit covenantjourney.org, where you can obtain additional notes and information to enhance your study of the Scriptures. The website again is covenantjourney.org. You can also email us at cj@covenantjourney.org. Share this podcast with your friends. Visit covenantjourney.org.